She's good. She's just good.
She's that girl. She's that girl. And she deserves this crown. She deserves everything.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? It is your favorite podcast duo. Once again, welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And Court.
And Court.
Is in session. Oh. It was a hand movement for me. For you.
Mine. You know the deal with my gavel. My gavel is.
It needs to go to the gavel hospital.
Doctor. It needs to see the gavel doctor. But you know what?
This season, Jordan, has been long and there has been a lot to bring to court. So it's injured. I don't blame it.
My gavel said, I've had enough too. So no.
I've had enough.
We are one. You and I are one. So
yes.
I just do the hand movement and you got it.
Perfect.
My gavel really is sick. I feel sorry for her. So anywho,
how are you?
Well, truth be told, I am great. I'm really not trying to be cool with my hat backwards. I have a hair appointment.
Hey, we all know that game.
So
the fact that you still, you know, I sometimes do a little scarf. We do a little, we get creative when it's a hair appointment day. I remember my grandma used to have a hat that said bad hair day. Like it was just a cute little bedazzled hat. Yeah. And she was just bringing attention to it because we've been there. Yeah. But it looks great.
The funny thing is I actually like it. It has a smiling face on the back.
Oh, cute.
But my head is too big to wear it the right way. So other than that, I am great. I'm going to put this in the atmosphere.
Okay.
So you can help me send positive vibes. My son has a Chicago Bulls G League tryout this week.
Ooh, yeah. That's exciting.
I'm super excited I'm nervous as if it's me. So I got to put it out there. So y'all send him positive vibes, positive juju, positive all of that.
Positive vibes. Did you give him any advice or what were your words to him as he, that's a big deal.
No, it is. So, you know, last year he played for the Maine Celtics. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of sort of working on like a little trade thing.
Okay.
And I don't give him a whole lot of advice because he gets in his head and it's like, he's like, okay, I got to remember what did my mom say? So the only thing I tell him is you've been here because he was here last year when he went and tried out for Maine. I said, you've been here. You've done it. You're ready. You're prepared. You're built for it. Go knock it out, kid. So that's about it. So hopefully next week when we're doing this, I'll have good news.
Yes.
So I'm super excited.
Okay.
For him.
Okay. Listeners, just close your eyes. Send out the vibes. Send out the positive vibes. Yes.
I'm going to pull my, what movie was it? You know, we love movies on here.
I know.
Oh, Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett. What's love got to do with
Angela
it?
Angela Bassett.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett. When Angela Bassett burned her husband's clothes.
I'm not thinking of the name, but iconic you know where she threw the match and she walked away. Is that
Waiting? Never mind. Waiting to Excel, but wrong movie for me. I meant What's Love Got to Do with It? Angela Bassett was doing her meditation, right?
Yes, that's
Yeah, so y'all positive.
Woo, we got there. That was a journey.
Oh, geez. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Jeez. Because I just messed it all up.
How about that? Let's talk about some basketball. Today, Monday is Monday. But you know what was some great news the WNBA playoffs are here. They have started. And Portland is an expansion team. We have Jenny Nguyen coming in later in the show. She's going to break it all down, the owner of the sports bra. But also, unanimous.
Who?
M'VP. Asia Wilson, unanimous. She is now in company of you, Cheryl, Lauren Jackson, and Lisa Leslie, three-time MVPs. She's only 28 years old.
Like, that's scary. That's scary.
What? We knew that it was going to be unanimous. We talked about it all season long. Like, this was her year. But still, when you saw the news, how did you feel?
You know, here's the crazy thing. Did we know it was going to be unanimous? We knew it should have been, right? Like, like, it should have been. But did we know for sure? Let's not forget, she did receive a fourth place vote last year. So there was a part of me that was like, yes, it should be unanimous, but ain't going to happen. So let me go back and say I was wrong. Y'all got it right. She was unanimous, and I'm happy. But even though we knew she was going to win it, it wasn't until my time zone, the 7 a.m. announcement, where someone sent it to me, and I was like, it is 7 o'clock in the morning.
It was very
Why are we making the announcement right now? Oh, yay, I'm going back to sleep. Then I woke up, and I had to start going through Twitter. My goodness, Jordan. Okay. I'm going to try to say this without getting emotional because Asia Wilson, I'm not even going to give her a made up middle name right now because this is serious. Asia Wilson she also has a way with words. As much as I loved seeing her accept her award in that nice red suit. Come on, sis.
Amazing.
The part for me was the fact that she wrote letters to each one of her teammates. And then even in her acceptance speech, just to say that she hopes she's done enough, that she has earned it or deserves it. Like, I'm like, Asia, no one has done what you've done. No one. The league's first 1,000-point score in a season. I don't think there are enough words that we can find to talk about the greatness of Asia Wilson. Last thing I'm going to say, you said she's 28?
Yeah.
And so myself, Lisa, Lauren, we all did a video for Asia. Mm-hmm. And Lisa said in the video, you're young enough, not to put any pressure on you, right?
Yeah.
You're young enough to where you could possibly win 5 MVPs. Lisa didn't put a number on it. She said 4. I'm going to say 5. She's 28. And I don't know. I just don't know. Like,
and she's continuing to get better each season. Like, this is her third, and we're still seeing new things from her, or things, you know, where she's getting a rebound on the opposite end, going full court, you know, behind the back, straight to the rim. And I think that moment was when she got the MVP, because we were like, oh, there's a whole nother. You're shooting 3s in the playoff game. They did an elevator screen weak side for her to come shoot a 3. Listen, I said, oh, my God. For her,
right? And I know we're going to get into the games. But when you talk about her greatness. So I'm watching the game on Sunday. And I really feel like I can say this because we have this kind of relationship. Asia Wilson in that first half was not an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She would have said the same thing. Yeah.
She But there was never a doubt or question in my mind that the MVP was going to show up in the second half. And it was bucket after bucket after bucket after bucket, block, rebound, defense. It was, she was just like, oh, y'all thought I was going to get the MVP trophy today and not be the MVP?
I know.
I'm just like I don't even want to say anything else because I don't know what the right word is. All I know is I am so grateful that I am still around to witness what we're seeing from Asia Wilson. You thought I was going to put it in there, didn't you?
I was. It was the comma pause. I love it.
Oh my God. She's good. She's just good.
And let's put some numbers on just how good she was, because we have seen it with our own eyes with the skill set, but the numbers back it up. So she's only the second player to be voted unanimous MVP, Cynthia Cooper in 1999. You mentioned first player, 1,000 points in a season. We've seen people's whole careers, they've gotten 1,000 points. So what? She set the record for the most points and rebounds totaled in a single season, set a new points per game record, breaking the previous mark, which stood for 18 years, okay, became the first player to average 25 plus points and 10 plus rebounds in a season, and became the first player to lead the league in total points, rebounds, and blocks in a single season. Yeah. She's that girl. She's that girl. And she deserves this crown. She deserves everything because of, like you said, I just love when great things happen to great people.
Yeah.
She talks about her teammates, and we have talked about her so many times this season, but honestly, it's still not enough. Like, she's just been that great. A little side note, and I tweeted about this, but I wanted to share it on the pod too. Because when I woke up, also barely awake and touching my phone, and I saw that the MVP was announced, I was like, what time is it? The first thing I noticed was the branding around it and the apostrophe and how a punctuation is now associated with Asia Wilson. And that just made me think of, you know, how many times was she, when she was younger, that she had to correct people that her name was spelled with an apostrophe, that this is how her name was spelled, which happens so much with people with unique names, or especially in the Black community. You know, my mom's name is LaShawn. It's L-A space S-H-A-W-N.
Don't forget the space.
Don't forget that space. She would tell you, and my nanny would tell you, that that space was purposeful. And my sister's name is Lashana, and she also has a space. So I just think about how often she maybe had to correct people or say it's an apostrophe, make sure to add that apostrophe. And now it's in between an MVP, or it's in between unanimous, or it's like, you just see an apostrophe in the women's basketball space, and you know we're talking about Asia Wilson. And that is so powerful and so cool.
The freaking apostrophe.
I know. Like, it's
I never liked apostrophes when I was in school. Because I always got it wrong. No, not always. But
you're gonna get it right.
You're 100%
when you talk about Asia. Yeah.
A apostrophe one.
Yes.
It, like, if anyone ever misspells her name, it's because you're doing it on purpose.
Because you know it now. It's
You know better.
It's no hiding it.
It's just like, is she so humble? And you know what? And there's a part of me when I listen to her accept her acceptance speech and how she's given her teammates the credit, and which is great. But there's a part of me that wants to say, listen, I need you to stand up there and be the be that you are, and be like, yeah, I'm that, you know, just one time.
The, Well, the cool thing is, I feel like it comes out. It does come out. Maybe a little sneaky.
It's a little subtle, maybe.
It's subtle, but we are all rejoicing when it happens because we're like, yeah. And she can point to this laundry list of her resume that has happened in 7 years in the league. Like, it before your 10-year mark, look at everything that you've done.
It's crazy. My goodness. Jordan, wow. And you know when opposing players, people that you go up against every day are posting and showing how much they respect you and they appreciate you and just how damn good you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you are her, right? Yeah. Because lots of times players aren't even going to compliment you. Like I saw Izzy Harrison posted something about Asia. Like, she just gets better with every single game, every year. Like her teammates love her and respect her. I don't know. I just,
when you got your third
it's
MVP,
just a beautiful thing to see.
When you got your third MVP, did you know you were that girl?
Yeah.
So don't make me wait. I already know the answer.
No. You know what? You know what's really funny about that question? So my first one, honestly, I was like, I knew I had a good season, but when I won my first one, I was kind of surprised that I won it. The second one, I was like, there's probably three of us, and I was one of the three who would win MVP. The third one, seriously, I was like, oh no, like I had that kind of a season. Y'all can give it to me right now if you want to. We ain't got to wait till the end. I'm kidding, Jordan. You know I had to say
something about that third MVP. That's just an exclamation point.
Man. But I'm going to just tell you, Angel Wilson is, she's different.
She's different.
She different she could
be
for
the,
real.
I mean, it would be on track for her to be the first to four MVP.
Yeah,
like,
no
it
doubt.
Would be.
No doubt.
That goes into her type of career. I love it. Congratulations.
Ooh, congrats, A.
It's been fun to see you. And now we are getting to see you in playoff form, which transitions perfectly because the WNBA playoffs have started. We are here. And we're going to go through each series, and I want us to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of each of these series. But before we do, Cheryl, how did you feel about all of the games being on Sunday, starting it off 4-game slate? Did you feel overwhelmed? Were you excited? Did you think being on a football Sunday was a good idea?
So I was excited about the playoffs starting. Mm-hmm. That I was excited about. I was not excited about the rest of it. First of all, it is a football Sunday. And I don't care how much we've grown and people are tuning in and they're watching in the eyes. You're going up against NFL on a Sunday. A Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my time zone, the games started at noon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was noon, 2, 4, and then Vegas was at 9, my time zone. I even was like, I need to pull up my iPad. I need my other TV. It was too much.
It was a lot.
I don't know. It was a lot.
Okay. I am on the other hand of that camp.
Okay,
I loved it because I don't watch football. And because this is my job, I booted my husband off the big TV.
Oh.
And he was on the phone watching his football.
Okay.
Sorry. But I loved it. I had snacks. I have my computer. I was just like, I'm posted here all day, WNBA playoffs. So I don't have many complaints about it being, but I know I'm in the best time zone to watch sports. I'm on the West Coast, Pacific time zone. Start at 10 a.m. going. The last game started at 7. Had a little snack dinner break in between there. It was perfect.
I love the games. I personally could have used like another hour or two in between
each one.
Yeah, okay. Because I kind of felt like, yes, I want to watch. I'm going to watch. But I had other stuff I needed to get done. I don't watch football like that either. So it wasn't the football part for me, but I do know I saw people posting and tweeting, WNBA, why would you start the playoffs in the middle of the day during football?
During football. Yeah.
Listen,
I don't have an answer.
but that wasn't the worst part of it for me. The worst part for me was the first game.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Because that Atlanta Dream versus the New York Liberty. So if you recall, the Atlanta Dream barely by the
Your
skin
team,
of their
by the
chin.
Way.
Yeah, I was right. Let's say.
Your team, by the way.
I didn't say they were going to do well once they got here, but I did say that. They were going to make it. They are the eighth seed, but the Liberty take the series lead 1-0. They won 83-69. They were at home in Brooklyn. Let's break it down. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. What, in your opinion, was the good about this game one?
Now, mind you, I'm so sorry. I really only watched the first half. So my good is going to be based off of the first half. For me, I'm going to say Sabrina Ionescu was the good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Sabrina came out and really set the tone from the very beginning of this is not going to be the same game that we just played. What was it? Maybe like
Thursday.
The week before?
Last Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, this ain't the same game. It's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Put your big girl draws on.
It's a different ball game. Like, they showed that. I love that. And I think my good is Leone Fibich.
Ooh,
because she got
yes!
the start. And Sandy decided to have Courtney Vandersloot come off the bench. And a rookie, she was unwavering. Like, she had already had 15 starts throughout the
season.
You're
right.
Sprinkled in. Unwavering. No nerves.
You are right. Yeah.
She didn't miss a shot until the third quarter. The third quarter.
She was good. She was so good. And since you bring her name up, oh my God. Yeah. She reminded me of the Olympics.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she looked really, really good. And since you bring that up, let me add one more good in saying that. I thought listening or reading Sloot's quote about not starting, how she was like, yeah, like as a vet in this league and you're used to starting, of course you want to start. But I also want to do what's best for my team. We're in the playoffs and we want to win. It takes a special person to say, coach, it ain't me right now, right? Give her the start. And so shout out to Sloot for understanding what her team needs right now. And listen, the Liberty look good. They look really good.
Like, they look really good. And Fibich finished with, she led all scores, 21 points. She went 4-for-4 from the three-point line, and she was 7-for-8. From the field. Like I said, she didn't miss her shot until the third quarter. Moving on to the bad. I think that's where the Dream sit. It's a little as expected when you have the eighth seed going up against the number one seed. But I just wanted more. I don't know, especially because they just won last week. I know the starters for the Liberty didn't play a ton of minutes, but I just have so many questions for this Atlanta team. If their season ends soon, for the offseason, they got to answer a lot of questions on why this team is not working. You look so disappointed.
Because I am. So I am. And you know why? And it's not even that I expect the Dream to win this series, because the Liberty's playing really good. Mm-hmm. But I do expect the Dream to be better. Listen, they have way too much talent on this team to not be better. I thought Tina Charles was the good for them yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. I expect Ryan Howard to be better, Alisha Gray, Jordan Canada, Nas Hillman. When I look at the team though, right, the players, I'm like, damn, they have talent. So what is the problem?
Right. It makes you wonder what is the problem. Talent. And yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say the ugly for me, I feel like your ugly was that the game was ugly, that you cut it off only
I couldn't do it anymore.
And that first half was the ugly. I mean, Ryan Howard was over, or she just wasn't able to find her shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm also surprised by that, because last year, even though they were bounced in the first round, she put up 30 plus. She had a 20 point, like she really showed out. So I was kind of excited for playoff Ryan to happen. And it's like, oh, that also didn't happen.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll happen in game two. Next game is on Tuesday, still in New York. New York could sweep the best of three series, but if not, it goes to Atlanta on Thursday for a game three. Maybe we get playoff Ryan in game two. She's going to have to put on like two Superwoman capes to try to will her team, because it also just feels like the team is defeated. You know, before even walking out, it's like, oh, our season, we worked so hard to get here. Now we're folding it in.
Well, and before we move on, so if you like, I'm really big on body language.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked at the game, and so maybe I did too, Mecky, and I'm like, let me go see what the score is. But when she put her subs in, right? And I thought the subs played really well.
They
right?
Did.
Like I thought LA looked good.
Haley Jones,
they were playing hard
in the league. Yeah.
But if you look at the bench when the camera went by, just their body language, they looked so defeated. And I don't mean in this game. I mean, it's almost like they're like, let's just be done.
That's
what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
They're too good though. They got talent. They absolutely have talent on that team. So maybe they'll turn it around. Who knows? Maybe they'll go back to the eight. Maybe they're going to force a game three.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. I don't know what your little hand wave meant, but
well, my hand wave was I'm not going to make any more predictions about Atlanta because they stressed me out. So I'm not going to put my name against that.
Because
I can't. Okay. That was good, funny, and bad and the ugly of Atlanta Dream in New York. Moving on to the Indiana Fever and Connecticut Sun. So the Sun lead 1-0 after a convincing 93-69 win over the Fever. This was a statement game by the Sun to me. Going through the good, the bad, the ugly. I want to start with the good.
Yeah.
I think Marina Mabry coming off the bench and scoring 27 points, a new WNBA record for a reserve in the playoffs. I was just watching that and I thought two things. One, I thought The Sun have been here before. We mm-hmm. know that. We know mm-hmm. that there's a lot of pressure on the Sun to get their first championship, to push past just making it, but actually finishing the job. And then I realized they have not had a shooter like this before.
True.
And this yes. is the piece that they needed, because we know we're going to get great defense, and we're going to talk about their great defense. But the offense was sometimes they would have lulls.
Yep.
Marina Mabry to be able to answer a three on the other end, to be able to get streaky, get hot at home. They needed it. And it was such a boost for the team. One, I'm happy for her because it does feel like she fits here too. Mm-hmm. And they needed a shooter like her. So mm-hmm. that is good. That's the good for
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah, Mabry was her yesterday. Yeah. I think for me, the good was the team, Connecticut. I thought starting the game, Dawana Bonner, right? Offensively, she came mm-hmm. out. She was shooting that thing. Defensively, a timeout. Stephanie White, yes. shout out to you just for making defensive adjustments to what start the game adjustment. Off and put Dawana Bonner on Caitlin with her length and her experience.
So like, smart.
Oh my gosh. Because you know, everybody was like, well, Dejanay is going to cut. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
great move. Mm-hmm. Great move, Steph. So I thought Dawana Bonner, just she looked so good yesterday. I thought Dejanay in spurts, she was Dejanay, that block that she ran down and got on. I think it was Fag Binlay. So she was like, good. Oh, no, it ain't going to be that easy, right? But let me say this, because you already talked about Mabry. I think we've gotten so used to AT and her triple doubles that it's just like, oh, she had another triple double. But no, it's not just an, oh, she had another triple double. That is hard to do. And in a playoff game,
yeah,
she had 12 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists. You cannot overlook what AT brings to this team. And those numbers are great, but it's just her presence on the court. And that's on both ends of the floor. She brings the attitude. They look like a different team to me yesterday than they looked in the playoffs before. And I do think Mabry is a big part of that.
I would definitely agree with that. I would also say Bree Jones, she just had a little pep in her step. She just looked different. And you know, post-game, the interview was with Alyssa Thomas, and she said, you know, this is great, but we've lost this game two for 2 years in a row. Like, we are also focused on not just the first round first game win. We want to win this out. And I thought that was such a great point, because they are very aware that this is kind of a thing that we talk about with Connecticut, that they show up in spurts, or maybe they're a little inconsistent with the follow through. And I feel like she just called that out. So I think that was really good.
And that's that leadership that she brings to the team. Right. And also, mm-hmm. I thought Olivia Nelson-Adota was off the bench.
Yeah.
She had some good blocks. She was running the floor. She had a presence in the paint. That's why I said the team. I just thought everyone who came in the game contributed, and Connecticut looked really good to me yesterday.
They did. They did. And I think the bad maybe isn't just something to improve on. Maybe you can't even improve on it, but my bad was the Fever. It just seemed like it was their first playoff game, and that's nothing that you can do, you know. Like, this is an experienced team. The Sun have been here and the Fever have not, and you have only a handful of players that have postseason experience. Fag Binlay, Dontis, mm-hmm. Katie Lou Samuelson, like mm-hmm. those are the few players that have had playoff experience. But you don't know what you don't know. Like, I think especially in the WNBA, when the season just ended, you can very much be like, oh, this is just like another game. Like we were just playing last week.
Right.
It's just like another game. And it's not. And yep. I think Connecticut showed that. And the Fever were just a little bit like, oh, shoot. Okay. Let's regroup.
playoffs are different.
Yeah.
Playoffs are very different. But I would say this. Yes, they're young. They haven't been here. Aaliyah Boston, I thought, was a bright spot. Mm-hmm. For the Fever. She finished with 17 points, 11 rebounds. You got one game under your belt. You go back, you watch film. Listen, I will say this. I think Connecticut, again, they played really well. And Alyssa Thomas is going to make sure everybody on this team knows and remembers we have lost game two in the playoffs mm-hmm. before. Don't want that to happen. The other side, I still think the Fever, they're absolutely going to show up. They're going to show up on Wednesday. Yeah, on Wednesday.
Yes, on Wednesday.
And they're because the first half was a game, right? Mm-hmm. The Connecticut didn't run off until the second half. So I still think this is a good series, but experience, talent, hunger, veteran leadership, you absolutely got to give it to Connecticut.
You have to, yeah. And I think Caitlin, if she's knowing that Dawana Bonner is going to be switched on her, I know that she's thinking about ways to score around that. Because like you said, DB's length definitely disrupted their offense and their flow. Not only her shots, but her passing too. Like you're just not able to get those things off with Dawana Bonner. But I loved going into the halftime. The reporter said,
oh, I know.
Dawana, you held Caitlin to 0-for-3 right now. And she was like, oh, or it was Holly Rowe. Let me knock on wood real quick. Because we all know that Caitlin has that power to come back. And I think that's what's going to happen in game two. Everybody has to have their first playoff game. You got to just get that out of the way.
Jordan, we've seen Caitlin do it numerous times. I know it was mm-hmm. regular season, but we've seen her not shoot the ball so well in the first half, come back second half. She's a completely different player. And absolutely. She has the ability to do that. The other player, you know, when you start talking about experience in playoffs, Kelsey Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Like regular season, anytime Kelsey Mitchell shot the ball and she missed, I was like, whoa, she missed. Like you could just feel it through the TV. That they mm-hmm. were like, dang, we just can't get a shot to fall. Because they had really good looks. They had a lot of wide open looks and a shot just
very happy
fall.
About that. Yeah, just not falling. Yeah. And they should be really happy about those looks. And I would say the ugly part isn't even about the game part. Ty Harris.
I was going there too. Yeah.
Was ugly.
Yeah.
And sending our love to Ty Harris because she was playing so well this season and doing some mm-hmm. great things for the Suns. Sending some love for that because that was ugly. The timing was ugly. Ankle injuries are ugly. Ah,
yeah, hurt my heart.
I know.
It did.
I know.
And shout out Veronica Burton. I'm sorry. Who got waived from Dallas? Ended up. Well, listen, I can't help it. But who was at Dallas, and I was like, oh, no, why did y'all let her go? Ends up at Connecticut playing in the playoffs and is playing significant minutes in the playoffs. And Veronica Burton, she's playing defense. She's scoring. She's attacking the basket. Just liked her. She was good last night, Sunday. She was good.
It was very much next woman up after the Ty Harris injury with Mabry just getting more minutes, starting the second half, all of those things. And Burton was a part of that. So, all right, next game, game two, potential closeout game. That's Wednesday night. But if there is a game three, that's going back to Indiana Friday night. It's tough to play in Indiana.
Connecticut does not want to go back to
Indiana. They don't want that. They do mm-mm. not want that. So, Connecticut, you got to take care of business in game two because you know you don't want a game three in Indiana. All right, moving on. We got two more. Phoenix Mercury versus the Minnesota Lynx. Lynx have the lead 1-0 after a 102-95 victory over the Mercury. This game was fascinating. I was stressed. I think I have a couple gray hairs that sprouted because of this game. The good. Let's start there. The good.
Well,
to me,
I was gonna say the good. Nafisa Collier and Tasha Cloud. Like
because
I know Phoenix lost, but Tosh Cloud showed. This is why Phoenix brought her.
Yes.
33 points, 10 assists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tosh was in her bag on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And deep. Was all the way to the bottom with the peppermints.
Like my girl, Cindy Brunson says, she was so deep in her bag, she was finding the loose Tic Tacs. Yes, TB. She looked good. But I know they didn't win the game. And Nafisa Collier, she just 38 of them things, Jordan.
Playoff career high, 38. Just getting really great looks. Nafisa Collier is finished second in MVP voting. And honestly, if Asia was just not in another stratosphere, Nafisa Collier would definitely be in that. She's second. She had a great season. And it makes sense that the Lynx are the number two seed battling it out and can make it all the way, especially if she is going to keep playing like this. Wow. I think that was definitely the good. It was also a stat. I believe the first time in playoff history where two players had 30-point games. So setting history, they were battling back and forth. And speaking of a battle, I would say the bad at first was that Phoenix got down by over 20. Then it quickly turned into a good when you look back up and they had the lead. Diana Taurasi, Fountain of Youth, was shooting that thing from beyond the arc and got them back in it with Tosh Cloud. Wow.
Yeah. And so I'll put the bat the other way. The fact that the Lynx gave up the lead. I know I kept watching and I was like, what? What? Mm-hmm. And then Phoenix took the lead and I was like, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah. And how it happened, Phoenix sped up the Lynx. The Lynx want to play slow. Even though they are a top team, they are not top in pace. They want to stay controlled. They want to run their sets. And Phoenix started pressing them. Ka was, harassing, being so in the face of the guards that it sped up their offense. Courtney Williams was like, oh, I got to hurry up and take a shot.
Yeah.
You actually don't, but that's what Phoenix wanted you to do. And so that was the bad. They got too sped up. The Lynx did, and they lost that lead. And it went down to the wire, but Nafisa Collier and Bridget Carleton, that step back corner three.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
That's like her signature.
Yeah.
That's her signature.
Really good. Kayla McBride also had a dub, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. We talked about DT, 21 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Real quick sidebar. There's been, if this is it for Diana Taurasi, it was her last home game. I don't think it is, but they're kind of saying maybe she could retire. Nafisa Collier, even though jokingly, did you see this, Cheryl?
Though
jokingly, she said, maybe we can end her career on Wednesday. Uh-oh.
Don't poke the bear. Uh-oh. But then she came back and was like, y'all, don't hype this up.
She was like, please.
Yeah. No. She's like, she's one of the goats in the league. I'm just saying, we just want to win. So there's not a game 3. I mean, but what is she supposed to say?
I agree with that. What is she supposed to say? But it was very much a, well, damn. Okay. Okay, Fee.
I know when she said it. And did you see Kayla McBride's face?
Yes, her face was like, oh, oh, oh.
and Cheryl just kind of had this grin on her face like, well, but listen, Fee of all people.
I know, she knows.
That. But yeah, she can say that.
And I feel like you can say that after you drop 38. You can say that a little bit.
Of course you can.
You can talk that.
So my, I don't know if it's, if it would be a bad or an ugly, because I'm just curious. Where was BG?
Yes. That is an ugly. She only had 10 points. She went 3 for 10, I believe. Only 3 made baskets. But I would want to know the deep analytics of how many touches did she get? And how many touches did she get per quarter? Because it was not enough. Was not enough. And especially when Phoenix was down, that was the reason. I said, please give the ball to BG. Like, just give her a chance. I don't know. They just weren't running through her.
Because my thing is this. I don't I missed the start of the game, but I would assume whether it was Fee or Alana Smith guarding BG.
Alana Smith, yeah. Or Atlanta.
Alana Smith, excuse me. You have got to get in the paint on the block. And like Shaq says, barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
Like there's nobody on the Lynx team that should be able to defend BG in the paint.
The Lynx actually don't have a center. Like they don't have someone listed as a center.
They don't.
Yeah. So Alana Smith is that person. And I looked back, you know, historically throughout this series, BG actually only averages 10 points a game per them. So I don't know if it's a hat tip to Cheryl Reeve and just having a strong plan in place, but it didn't even look like that. It didn't even seem like Phoenix was trying to get it to her or trying to feed it to her.
Well, Jordan, the other issue with that, which is why I think Phoenix did more of a small ball, because you have Tosh Cloud defending Nafisa Collier a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. So Tosh is basically your 4, because the other side of that is on the defense, the offensive end, Alana Smith is going to bring BG away from the basket.
Right.
And she's shooting threes. If BG comes out, she's putting it on the floor. She's going by her. But my thing is, okay, that works for them. Well, then you got to do what works for you, which is put BG in, put her on the paint, put her in the paint on the block, give her the ball. Maybe you get Smith in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but she has to have more of a presence in game 2 if Phoenix is going to try and force a game 3.
If they have a chance. I totally agree with that. Game 2 is on Wednesday. It's still in Minnesota. If Phoenix wins that game, they will host game 3 on Friday if necessary. So, yeah, that is a key point. I'm so glad you brought that up. We'll see if first year head coach Nate Tibbetts will make that adjustment. All right, the last one. The finale of the night on Sunday was the Las Vegas Aces with the unanimous MVP, Asia Wilson, going up against the Seattle Storm. This was a series that I came up with the good, the bad, and the ugly, because We had all of it. We had all of it. The Aces lead 1-0 after winning 78-67 at home in Vegas. The good. Start positive. The good. For me, it was the Aces' response. I feel like they did get hit in the mouth a little bit at the beginning. And they responded. That is what you expect from a championship team. And I feel like they did that. Specifically, Asia Wilson coming out in the second half. And I looked at her, I was like, dang, she only got 8 points. And I looked again and she had 18. Like it was that immediate.
Just of, like that, right?
I'm going to turn it around for our team. So I know that the Aces, not making excuses, but they had a long day. That MVP announcement, the award ceremony, all of that happened before the 7 o'clock Pacific time game. So it looked like they just got off to a little bit of a slow start. Very typical of them. But I think the good would be the bounce back. What about you?
So I'm going to go the opposite. And I know they didn't win. But I'm using this because they're also going to be like my bad and ugly. my good was the way Seattle started the game, the way they play. I love the messy hair. I don't really care. Skylar Diggins.
It's a different version. That is a different goodness. Beast.
Listen, yes. Skylar, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. And I'm going to say this because I'll say something different later. They were really good when they were moving and sharing the basketball.
Yes.
And forcing the Aces to defend from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Seattle missed an opportunity to take it to a game three.
Absolutely. And NECA was a part of that start too. 13, they didn't have an answer for NECA.
Yes.
She had 13 points. She finished with 13 points, but she had 13 points in the first quarter.
And all of this without Ezzie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they let one get away. I do. That was my good.
Absolutely. The good is the start. Yeah. The bad. Well, I'll be more specific because I think the ugly is very specific.
Yes.
I would say the bad was, and I don't know if this is her fault. Jewel Lloyd didn't look 100% to me.
No, she did not. She did not.
She missed a couple games for a knee injury. She finished with only 6 points. She didn't look 100%. Not even a lot of touches. It's not even like she was off. She was just kind of out there. And Seattle needs Jewel Lloyd.
They have to have Jewel.
This Aces team. The time they did beat them in the regular season, she had 25. Like they need her to be a part of this to force it to a game three. And she wasn't 100%. So I just kind of felt, I was like, oh, this is looking bad.
And you can see that. But y'all forgive me because I know they're Aces fans. My goodness, what was I thinking? We talked about Stephanie White's adjustment in putting Dewana Bonner on Caitlin. Yes. Let me just say, Becky Hammon, Nikki Fargus, Natalie Williams, whoever was responsible, Tiffany, you get a middle name today. Tiffany, Darnisha, Michelle Hayes.
She gets a two. Double middle name.
Yeah.
Darnisha Michelle.
Darnisha Woo! Michelle. was a problem. I don't know how I forgot to bring up Tiffany Hayes. Listen. I saw Tiffany Hayes make a couple of moves and did a little reverse and a little up and under reverse. And I was like, oh, that's why y'all went and got her.
Out of retirement, just plucked her off the couch. She wasn't on the couch. She was still hooping, but still.
And she was defending. She was scoring. Yeah. I'm sorry. Tiffany, charge it to my head and not my heart. Girl, I am so sorry because...
That was in the Tiffany good. Hayes that was the good.
Very good. Not just good. That was very good. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to go back to the good. We can move on to the ugly if you want to.
Yeah, let's move on to the ugly. The Seattle story. I can't believe I'm about to say this sentence out loud. A professional WNBA Seattle Storm scored 2 points. Like 1-2.
or T-W-O.
T-W-O. In the entire fourth quarter. Just a moment of silence for that to really register. Yeah. The Aces went on a, I believe it was a 16-2 run. And in the fourth quarter, it was 14-2. So it's not even like the Aces had a great quarter. Like, they only scored 14. But 2 points. And it looked ugly. I didn't know what was going on. They were playing so well. Like, they,
I know
they
what was
still
going
had
on.
A chance. Okay, please tell us. Because what happened?
No, I don't know. But what I see.
Yeah.
Selfish basketball is what I saw. So here's what I felt was the difference. They went from playing great team basketball to we're going to move the ball. We're going to make the Aces have to defend. I don't care who's scoring, who's doing what, to it's my turn. It became either dribble it down the floor and shoot it, or make one pass and then that person did whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the fourth quarter in particular, at least six possessions in a row where it was one pass and a shot.
Yeah.
And they weren't good shots.
No, right? Early in now, the shot clock.
Yeah, like I was sitting there yelling at the TV. Now, mind you, I ain't got a dog in a fight. I just want it to be a good series. Mm-hmm. And Seattle played so well in the first half. And I looked at the bench and I saw Noelle Quinn at one point. She just sat down and put her head back. And to me, I was like, she's thinking exactly what I'm thinking. Like, what team is this? It was so ugly to watch.
It was.
And a professional team to score only 2 points. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from Vegas, but Vegas hasn't been that type of a defensive team this year.
No. No. Not a near shutout. No.
They have not.
They haven't. And I don't think they would admit to that. Like, that's not really how they get down. No,
they Seattle made it so easy for Vegas. It was like, oh, well, you shot the last one, so it's my turn. Well, you shot the last one, so it's my turn. I was just like, this is not going to win any games for you.
It looked like they gave up. Like it wasn't even because sometimes, you know, you can't really fault a player that's like, okay, you missed the shot. But it's like the shots that they were taking, it was like you're playing open gym and you're like, all right, we've been here for a while. Let me just jack this up. It was
That's what it looked like.
And it was, I mean, and I was gonna say, we're not gonna name any names. No, that's what we do. That's what we talk about. But Gabby Williams was taking shots that were outside of her role, of things that they brought her there for.
Like, and what?
I would say she's not an excellent three-point shooter. She's not a great enough three-point shooter.
I agree with that.
Dribble down the court and just shoot a three. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? That's not your role. That's not why you're here. And to your point, it was, I'm going to shoot it because Skylar shot it last time, or yeah, because
it's
somebody
my turn
else shot it and we're yeah, none of us are making it.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of like, okay, I feel like we made some very, and also Jewel Lloyd just not even in the game when they were only down by six at one point. It's not like the Storm were playing this bad and the game was still close.
Yes. They were playing this bad at one point and they still had the lead.
Yeah.
There was a point where I was like, you guys have the lead.
Do you know?
Yeah. Hey. Like, I want to text Noelle or Pokey and be like, y'all have the lead. No, seriously though, it was like they were playing like they were down by 20. And it's like we gotta hurry up and score. I was so, that fourth quarter for me, I was so confused. I was like,
You are Noelle Quinn, because I also saw her just kind of sit down and be like, all right, we'll try again tomorrow. Like, what is, when you're watching game film, because you're going to have to watch film on that fourth quarter, what are you saying to your team?
Well, for me, let me say this, because they can't see. I'm going to have my remote. I'm going to stop, pause, slow motion, rewind. Listen, Jordan, sometimes when you get to this point, it's not even about what you're doing on the court, right? Totally. But you got to learn through film. And I can tell you, but it's so different when you see it yourself. But her message should be, guys, like we were in a really good spot going into Vegas, playing them on their home court. Asia just got named MVP. We're playing really well the first half. Now let's look at the second half.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped doing the things we did in the first half that got us the lead. So if we can play this way for 40 minutes, now granted, Asia Wilson's going to be different game two. Yeah. She's not going to have the type of first half she had.
Mm-mm.
But let's focus on us, meaning Seattle. If we can play the way we played the first half for an entire game, we're going to give ourselves a pretty good shot. Not saying we'll win, but we'll be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, there's not a whole lot for her to say. Because I also think they have vets on that team. They know.
They know.
They know what they did and didn't do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Coach Cheryl, I think that's a great pep talk.
Ready for game two.
Yeah.
Better change if you want to try to have a game three.
Well, Vegas has a chance to close out in game two tomorrow on Tuesday. They got to turn around quick. Real quick. If not, if they do turn around. Oh, pause.
No, this is a question.
Okay.
And because I really don't know. So how did they decide? You play all four games on Sunday. And now we're going to play on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then how did they decide who played on Tuesday and who played on Wednesday?
And who played on Wednesday? I don't know. At first I was trying to think if it was travel involved, but there's not.
Ain't nobody traveling. Staying
at the same place.
Yeah.
They don't have to travel until game three. I'm not sure. It's all a little confusing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
I thought but that is a very
answer,
quick.
I don't know the answer. That's a quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm. It's a quick turnaround for the playoffs. So
I mean, I'm happy because I'm ready to watch game two, but
me too. But by the time we talk to you guys again, like the first round is gonna be over potentially, or it will be because it's only this week.
Yeah.
So gosh, that's gonna go by so fast. All right. Well, that was a very in-depth breakdown of game one in the first round. That was so good. And it's about to get even better because on the other side of the break, we have a very special guest joining us. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. Some big news this week in the WNBA, Cheryl, was that another expansion team has entered the villa. It's Portland. Portland will be the 15th WNBA franchise tipping off in 2026. And I know that we could have talked about it, but I had to bring some Portland royalty to the conversation.
Yes.
We had to. We brought a very special guest to break this down with us. The owner of the Sports Bra, the first bar exclusively dedicated to women's sports. It's Jenny Nguyen. Queen, welcome to the show.
Hey. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here with y'all. This is such great news, such a big week for us.
Oh, well, we're happy that you're here.
Absolutely. So I got to get this out of my system.
Let's go.
Jenny, like, we're so excited you're here. Happy Portland's getting a team, but I am going to say this. I am so in my feelings right now because Houston needs to be getting a team back. I just need to get that out of my system. But
okay. Heard
that.
You feel better? That was a good
release. No, I don't feel better, but I got it out. I got it out. I'm excited though. Listen, the more teams, the better.
And absolutely.
And Portland, listen, when Portland had the fire, I love traveling to Portland. Mm-hmm. So
biggest crowds in the W at the time.
Super excited biggest about it.
Crowd. Okay, so we're gonna talk about the Portland Fire. We're gonna talk about that. But Jenny, just if for those who don't know, I don't know if they've been living under a rock or I don't know, maybe they still have a flip phone. But just tell us what the sports bra is and how that got started.
Sure. Yeah, the sports bra is a sports bar in Northeast Portland, Oregon. We opened in 2022, and it is, as far as I know, the world's first sports bar dedicated 100% to women's sports. And anybody and everybody is welcome. So it's not a sports bar for women, but a bar for women's sports. Like, I think those two things get confused a lot. So I just like to put it out there. And since we opened in April of 2022, we witnessed a dramatic shift in not only where women's sports is as far as the trajectory of fandom and investment, but also content, media, women in power, you know, women in the structures, not just on the field, but like behind the camera, in front of the camera, writing stories, owning teams, GMs, leagues, owning networks. So all of that stuff, I think, is building into a different culture of for women's sports. And the sports bra, you know, is just one tiny cog in that wheel, moving this entire movement forward towards equity for women's sports. So the sports bra is, and having opened in 2022, and now we're two plus years later and witnessing this dramatic shift is pretty remarkable to be a part of it and also be alive to witness all of it.
That is so cool. Didn't it start?
I'm excited.
Didn't it start too because you and your friends went to a bar at wanting to watch women's hoops in the Final Four, and you had to ask them to change the channel? I don't know about you, Cheryl. But that has happened to me so many times. Of like, hey, there is a very important women's basketball game on or a women's sports game on. Why isn't it on your TV? So having to ask people to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I opened it up because I felt like there was the desire for me and my friends in Portland to create that space. And what I didn't know was that when I opened it up, that same feeling, that same experience, all of those things that I described and that you described, Jordan, are universal to people who are fans of women's sports across the globe, not just in the United States and in many, many, many other countries, dramatically worse than the situation here. So so when we opened up, it kind of flipped the status quo of what a sports bar has been or can be. And since we've opened, we're seeing a lot more folks following in our footsteps. So it actually kind of created a market for women's sports bars.
Well, it was much needed. My question for you, Jenny, is I know it's the sports bra, which, by the way, love so the name,
good. Right?
I so love the name. So when people see that or they hear that, is their first thought, oh, this is like a women's sports bar, right? Or do you get a lot of men that are like, oh, this is pretty cool. Let me go hang out at the sports bar and check out women's sports.
Honestly, Cheryl, it has been everything. And everything from both left to right and everything in between, especially at the beginning. In fact, when I was kind of crowdsourcing like validity for the idea, I like, you know, talk to my family. It was just like, okay, I have this idea. This is what I want to name it. And for the most part, generally people were like, oh, brilliant. It's so clever. It's funny. It's punny. It's like, it fits exactly who you are. Cause I'm kind of a nerd about those kinds of things. I like dad jokes are like my jam. But there was a solid group of people who literally told me that they thought that naming the venue the sports bra was too risque, like too taboo. And that, you know, it's kind of, they felt like kind of a dirty talking about an undergarment, which the more that, so I like dug into it. I was like, okay, explain to me why that is. And so they talked to me about it. And the more that they explained it, and I can understand it, but the more that they explained it, the more I was like, this is why I want to name it this. Not only is it funny and punny, but it is removing the taboo of what is really an athletic piece of equipment needed to perform a sport. And so when we, because another thing that happened was when I was looking up, you know, I was Googling women's sports bars and just trying to like word it in all these different ways to figure out who'd done it. And I couldn't find anything out there. But what I kept running into were really like not graphic, but really hyper-sexualized images of women in sports bras and women in sports that were like highly sexualized. And so another thing is to kind of take that back, you know, empower that phrase, empower that piece of equipment, and empower women in of like that are athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it ended up being something like funny, punny, and then ended up being something a lot more meaningful. And another thing was that my dad was just like, you know, I know you welcome men, but I'm not sure a man would feel comfortable having like a gathering with his bros and be like, hey, let's go to the sports bra. And I was just like, honestly, if a man is emasculated enough by the name, the sports bra, it's probably not a bro that we want there anyway.
Yeah, right.
And so there were all of these ways. Yeah. So there were all of these ways where the name actually did a lot of work in creating, validating, and removing taboo and kind of pushing the barriers. In fact, one story that I love to remind myself of was at the very beginning, two things happened. One was I got a letter from the IRS to tell me that my business had been like a real business, and it was the Sports Bra LLC. And I was like, okay, I know that it's a computer that prints this out, but I literally got like a legal contract that says the Sports Bra LLC. Like, one, that's a win. And then secondly, we had dramatically underestimated how busy we were going to be at opening. So I had to make a run to the a huge grocery warehouse where we get our produce delivered from. And I had to do like a midday run. So I run over there and I run up to the counter and I was just like, hey, I'm doing a pickup for the sports bra. And it's this gigantic refrigerated warehouse with forklifts, huge semi trucks delivering produce everywhere around the city, right? This woman picks up the horn. She's like, we'll call delivery for the sports bra. We'll call delivery for the sports bra. And I hear it on an intercom that is echoing throughout this gigantic warehouse with bros in forklifts. And I was just like, hell yeah. Like they just said the sports bra like three times in a warehouse and everybody had to hear it. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
I love it.
I felt empowered from just like that little thing. Yeah.
Heck yeah, you should. Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. And now it's very common in Portland for people to refer to it as the bra. Like, I'm going to the bra. I'll see you at the bra.
The bra.
It's just the bra. People.
I just love that. You know,
And I'll hear guys talk about it. Guys will be like, we're going to the bra after
the
this.
Bra. Right.
And it's very casual. Nobody blinks, you know, but it has become commonplace. So it's pretty great to like take the taboo away and give back power to all of it.
I'm giving you just brilliant. So before we get into talking about Portland bringing a team back, so, and you and I were talking a little bit before we hopped on live, but any plans on expanding the sports bra to other parts of the world?
Get this. So in April we announced publicly that we were going to franchise, and tons of excitement around that. And the franchising process has been really difficult. I didn't know anything about it, just like kind of like when I decided to open the sports bra, I didn't know anything about starting my own business. So hordes of learning. Franchising is that times 1,000, let's say that. So the build out process has taken about six to eight months. Just building it out, writing like contracts, building manuals, all of the things. And so on, we're going as fast as we can to build this thing out, because every day that we don't have another sports bra out in the community, it feels like a day too late because of the trajectory of women's sports, right? But again, we want to do it right. We want to do it sustainably, and we want to do it right by the community. And so we're like trying to do this as fast as possible, as fast as possible. And it just timed exactly the moment that we could launch publicly our franchise website and like kind of open it out to people to apply. That same day was the day of the Portland W announcement. Like it literally, it went right to Wednesday. And I called my PR team. I was like, do we want to announce on the same day as the Portland W team? I feel like it's going to cross each other out and it's going to be so much noise. It's going to get lost in the shuffle. And we just decided, you know, let's just announce it because we've been working on this for so long. And actually doing it at the same time, really, I think the two things kind of exploded, like piggybacked on each other and just blew up. And so right now we've announced that we want to open franchises across the U.S. We're focusing on U.S. and that doesn't mean that people haven't applied from other countries because that doesn't stop them. They have. And, you know, there's a steady, there's a steady trajectory that we have planned, but we really want to hear from everybody. And there's certain states that are like, we can't go into, or we can't talk to those folks right yet just because the registering process is a little long, but it doesn't mean that we won't look at them. So some states are fast, some states are slow. But all 50 states are open to put their name in the hat, which is pretty. We're very excited. We're very excited. And I was telling you guys before we got on the call that we opened up the website like at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and in the first 48 hours, we got over 250 prospects.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is unbelievable.
Listeners, open your wallets.
Right. Let's go.
Jenny, and let's open our own franchise.
Let's go.
It's
sign me up.
Bigger, like everything of what you're saying, like it is so necessary and it is so aligned with the growth of W, with women's basketball, with women's sports. It is so perfectly timed. And I just feel like you learning this new thing, you launching it in 2022, and now here we are in 2024, and they're like, Jenny, you're getting a WNBA team down the street from you. What was your reaction when you learned that Portland was the next city to expand to? And then what does this mean to the community of Portland?
There's so many things in that question, Jordan. Like my first reaction, my gut reaction is that I feel like I've been waiting my whole life for Portland to have a team back. And when I think about it, I really have. So I was born and raised in Portland. I went to the games when it was the ABL Portland Power. I went to the games when it was the WNBA Portland Fire. And, you know, we lost that team in, I think, 2002. Mm-hmm. So I have been waiting over two decades for Portland to bring a W back. And basketball is my sport. Like, I really, up until I opened the sports bra, I didn't really watch or have any interest. I mean, I dabbled a little bit in watching gymnastics. But before the sports bra, basketball was like the only thing that I really cared about. And so having that W announcement happen, I I almost cried when they told me. I have a lot of feelings about it. And not only to bring it back to my hometown after all of this time, and I know that the fan base was here then, and it's definitely here now, but to have it in a hometown and also have the bra be alive and like, you know, a part of the community at the same time feels very... like, I guess wholesome is like the only thing I can think of. Like, it just feels like a big warm hug. Like, it feels like exactly what the way it's supposed to be. And when I think about the community and the demand, you know, I can't say enough about when we opened our doors, how many people showed up for us, and not just when we opened and not just like on the internet, but like walk through the doors, who like stream into the doors and like show the love. And that love is super real, super palpable. And that's kind of how Portland has been like my whole life for women's sports. You know, before it was basketball, it was soccer. Like my dad, when I was a kid, took me to University of Portland for sold out soccer matches for the women's games. Yeah. And so I grew up with that feeling that Portland was a women's sports town. And so to bring the W back and to have the bra here and to have the community like just so ridiculously engaged at this point is just a dream come true.
Wow. Wow.
Cheryl, what do you remember about the Portland fire? What do you remember about traveling to Portland?
I remember Jackie Stiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember about Portland fire. But the thing that I loved about going to Portland, besides that's where Nike was and then I could go shop at Nike. I totally agree with Jenny. I think, you know, today when you're looking at attendance and the fans, like, yes, it's crazy. But for people who weren't around back then, like, we've been doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The numbers are greater, right? Because more people are tuning in and watching, which is unbelievable. But Portland showed up and showed out. It was a Portland, Seattle. That was the trip, right? And great games, competitive. The fans were rowdy. It was so much fun to travel to Portland. And I already got that out of my system, but I got to tell you, I am so excited. I'm excited to start. I'm saying start bringing back some of these old school teams, but I mean, I think Portland is a great city, but Jenny, you're there. So I'm going to ask you, why is now the right time to bring a team back to Portland?
I mean, I think that, well, one, I think the W needs to expand faster. And I think that everybody can agree that there is a lot of talent and the demand is there. And so of the eight cities that it kind of boiled down to, any one of those cities would have been a home run for the W to land in, honestly. And for it to be Portland, you know, again, my hometown. One thing that we have had is the Portland Thorns as a consistent fan base. And when the Portland Thorns came on the scene for the NWSL, they came with that like rabid fandom before there were any championships. Yeah. And that's just how Portland shows up. And so when you have like a convincing, very consistent fan base that shows up like that, I mean, the Portland Thorns fan base kind of set the bar, the gold standard for women's football fandom on a global scale until very recently for soccer, I would say. Best fans on the planet for a long time. And that's like undisputed. And so when people talk about women's sports and Portland, that kind of makes sense, right? And then you add to that, you know, the sports bra being here, I think is a part of it. And then kind of creating this feeling of, I've been hearing this term a lot lately that is kind of shocking when people say it to my face, but they have been referring to the sports bra as a women's sports mecca, that is the place that is on their bucket list, that if you're a women's sports fan, you have to make your way to Portland. And so when those kinds of things get kind of spun around a city, the idea of the W finally landing here is like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I had, and going back to this comment that's sitting on my screen right now from James, is I had a woman reach out from Philly who was running for office, and part of her platform was trying to get the bra to Philly. And she said that she truly believed that if the sports bra was in Philadelphia, if the sports bra was in Philadelphia, that women's sports teams would follow. And when she, and this was last year, this was like before franchise announcement, before anything, she reached out to me. She told me that, and she truly believed it. And she was just like, what do I need to do? And I was just like, I'm not there yet. Cause I wasn't ready. Like, we'd been open a year.
I'm trying to
find a bartender first. I'm like hiring for a bartender. Do you bartend? And so when I hear things like that, I'm like, okay, it feels like a stretch, but also is it, you know, it makes sense. You build that fandom, you create that space, you create that energy that around a city, and it will draw it in. And so I don't know if it's exactly the sports bra or if it's exactly Portland, but I do know that the W and expansions into these other cities are going to be home runs. Like the next city that they announced, like when they announced Bay Area, the Valks, like blown up,
Yeah.
When they announced Toronto, oh my God, an entire country showed up for that city. So like wherever the W is going, it is the right time. The right time is absolutely right now. If they announced four more cities right now, all four cities would explode, right? So it's just not, it's not just about Portland. It's just not about the sports press. It's just not about, you know, Portland fandom. It's about growth and it's about what's happening right now. Yeah. Sorry. I just got a cat and she wants to be in everything.
Hi, cat.
Mm-hmm. What's a cat's name?
She also showed up on Wednesday. So it's just a good week. It's
that was
just
a awful great week for you. Like all these omens, right?
It really is. I pulled into my driveway Wednesday night and she's a stray off the street. She was sitting in my driveway.
Well, she ain't there a stray no more. She ain't a stray no more.
Picasso. Picasso.
Jordan. Picasso. Jordan, you gotta let me ask this question. So Jenny, okay. I'm gonna put you on the spot right now.
Let's go.
So if you could pick one player for the new WNBA Portland team to build around, who would it be?
Oh my God.
Only one. Only one.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, I mean, there are so many and I can be selfish, but I'm not going to. I know.
I need you to be selfish.
It's hard for me, Cheryl. Sometimes I speak and I feel like I represent the whole town. You know what I mean?
Right now, you kind of are.
I know, right?
I'm just going to go with my initial, which is okay. Ionescu. I think bringing Ionescu back to Oregon and building around. I mean, she's had a phenomenal season. Like,
that's smart.
There's been a ton of people with phenomenal season. And so it's like easy to kind of like overlook.
Yeah.
Or she got hyped up a bunch, you know? And so now like, as she performs to the hype, people are like, nah, that's what we were expecting, but it's still like freaking awesome. I think that bringing her back to Oregon could be really huge for fandom and just like the loyalty crowd over here. You know what I mean?
Damn. Yeah. Like those diehards. Oh, they would love that. Here's the thing though about Sabrina, because they were also saying that about the Valkyries, because she's from the Bay Area. So they were like, oh, we want, maybe she goes there because she can go back to her hometown. But now she has Portland to choose from. I think there's going to be a lot of teams vying for Sabrina when her contract comes up.
It's true. She's got a lot of choices, which is great.
And New York is like, please don't leave.
I know, right? Yeah, New York's like, oh no, we are coring you. You ain't leaving. No.
Don't even think about it.
That's
okay.
Good.
I like that choice.
That's smart. That's smart too.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. Well,
that would be my smart choice. Yeah.
That's a great choice. That's a great choice. I want to say, you know, with the names and the branding, has there been talks of them bringing back the Fire? I will say they had a Dalmatian mascot and genius. Right. So smart.
I forgot about that, Jordan. Oh my God.
Dalmatian. I know no one's coming for Ellie. Like, dang,
I forgot about that too.
I did a little digging. And a Dalmatian mascot for the Fire.
That's good. I forgot about that.
I've heard a lot of folks here asking to bring the Fire back. Honestly, I would love to see something new, fresh, because this is a new era. It's a new era for Portland, for the W, for women's sports. Like, we can pay homage like day in, day out for sure. But I'm ready for something fresh and something new. And I love the idea of, you know, because the Fire is based off of the Trailblazers, right? So something with its own identity, separate, with a different colorway, you know, because the Fire was also black, white, and red to mimic the Blazers. So like, get away from that. Let's create our own, pave our own path. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Jenny, I'm so proud of you. Like, I just, I want our producer just to clip all the times me and Cheryl are just like, wow.
I know. And smiling all like, big.
Like, oh, I was teasing.
I love it.
So proud of you and everything that you're doing. I would totally agree that the sports bra is a mecca and a place that you have to go if you are a true fan and about this women's basketball and women's sports. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my gosh. Goodness. Thank you both so much. That is such an honor to be here with you both. And I could not be more grateful for this entire experience. What an adventure it's been. And I mean, I feel like in a lot of ways, we're at the beginning of something, you know, so
no doubt.
Hang on, no doubt. Hang on to your hats, everybody. Let's go.
You are truly a trailblazer, not Portland, but you are a trailblazer in this space. Like you're leading the way. You're showing people how to do it. Just, I'm appreciative, and I'm going to take a trip to the sports bra.
Oh yeah.
Please do. Please do. Thank you so much. Thank you
absolutely.
So much. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's stay in touch.
Welcome back. We love Jenny. Oh, she's so great. Mm-hmm. She is the bomb.
We got to make a trip to the sports bra.
I know. We actually need to plan that. How fun would that be? But Portland, beautiful this time of year. Portland's just a beautiful city in general.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
shout out, Jenny.
Maybe you can take me shopping. I heard that you got a plug at a big brand.
Somebody. Yeah, I know somebody. Somebody.
All right. I'll take that shopping trip. And I know how you shop too. So I can get down.
Jordan, that is not for everybody.
Okay, sorry.
You only know how I shop because you were. Oh yeah, you should get that. You should get that. Yeah.
Oh, I know how I shop. Buy everything. I am your supporter to buy everything.
If now you want to save money, you and I cannot shop together because we'll both be in trouble.
We would.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. Let's give out some flowers. Do you have some flowers you want to give out today?
I do.
Okay.
I am going to give a big bouquet of flowers to Tiffany Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm getting emotional. You know, Tiffany's been out for a while. And for people who may not know, she has been dealing with an illness. And she just posted on social media, basically telling her story, what happened. And it's not my place to give you that information, but it is on social media. And the reason why I want to give Tiffany flowers is because she's a fighter, right? And she talked about sometimes you got to give it to God or give it to a higher being, whoever that is to you. And she got to a point to where she did that and going through surgery. And I read her post and I knew she was out, but I had no idea how serious it was. So I just want to send her some flowers, give her flowers and say, happy that you're better. We see you. We got you. Keep fighting, keep doing what you're doing. And listen, it's about life. It's not about sports. It's not about basketball. There are things that are bigger than basketball. And Tiffany, I got nothing but love and respect for you, and will absolutely keep you lifted in prayer.
We had the exact same flowers because just reading her story, it was, you can't help but just give her the biggest bouquet. Yeah. And it is a lot of, I had no idea. You know, when you see someone's on an injury report, or I just remembered us talking about at the beginning of the season what a difference maker she would be for this Connecticut Sun team, thinking about the basketball part, the X's and O's, how she fits in the rotation. It is so much bigger than that. And you don't really know. And she is the only one that truly knows what she went through. But you hear about her fight and how she has battled through so many things. And in her own words, she said is a miracle that she is still alive today. And that is powerful.
Jeez, yeah, it is.
And just talking about how, and we talk about it, especially in this segment, all the time, how it is bigger than basketball. It is bigger than sports. She talked about how she just had to surrender. Like when you're just at a point where you just have to surrender because you have no control over what is going on. It was just some really powerful words. So she posted that on Instagram and it's also on Twitter and, the biggest flowers. And we hope that we can see you play basketball again. But if not, that is okay. Yeah. And we will be cheering you on in life because you have your life. Just really powerful stuff. So Tiffany Mitchell, we love you. We are cheering for you. And we are happy that you are sharing your story. And so that we can give you flowers and pour into you.
Yes. Very well said. Very well said.
And we have the same flowers. This has been Giving
Flowers. And we didn't even talk about it.
We didn't. We did not. This has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Please continue to follow, rate, review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your questions, your feedback. How is your favorite team doing in the playoffs? Let us know. Maybe give your own good, bad, and ugly of your team. Let us know.
I like that.
Queens of the Court at odyssey.com.
I like that a lot, Jordan. Just don't send it to us on social media, but I will tell you where to find us. You can find me at AirSwoops22 and Jordan is at HeyJordanR.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Alex Ozzie and Lena Moss-Blazer.
And Court is adjourned.